Hey there, everybody. What's happening? Hope you're doing. We're going to go for a little drive today and talk about religion. We're going to do religion today. And I don't have any fancy slideshows for you, but I do have some comments about religion in general, and then we're going to kind of look into it. If you saw my recent episode where I was talking about conspiracy, and we dove very, very deep into human psychology to try to analyze what is the root of criminality, what is the root of evil, what is the root of destructive forces that just keep popping up in our societies, no matter what period of time you look in or what area of the world you look in, it rises its ugly head in a variety of different ways. And it obviously, because of that, because of a lack of good foundational principles, then corruption ensues, and therefore, you know, hence conspiracy. Okay, so we looked at that, so you can go look at that episode. But what I liked about that episode, I'm glad I brought out in it, was this look at cults and personality types and the psychology of the masses. And I recently did my last episode right after that, which was the most recent one I released, which is a really good presentation on, well, I feel it's good, that's why I did it, collectivism versus individualism. Really cleared that up. We cited Gustav Le Bon's work on studying the crowd. And so now I got lots of questions and feedback about cults and religion. It's interesting. The minute you start talking about this, people start talking about religion. You talk about psychology, religion. Politics, religion. It always comes back to religion. And I find that very interesting. So I gave the characteristics of a typical cult. Okay, there's obviously slight variations, but you'll see the same kind of forces at work in cults as you will in various religious organizations. Now, I don't want to critique religion in the sense that you have a personal belief in God or a higher power, or maybe you are a part of a religion. You would say, oh, I'm a Christian, or a Buddhist, I'm a Muslim, I'm this, I'm that. I'm not critiquing a personal approach to spirituality and to developing a coherent way of life that improves your quality of life, improves your outlook on life. I believe that inherent in all of the religious traditions are little pieces of an archive of knowledge that came from the deep, deep past. And it eventually got fractured and divided, and then it's been edited over centuries. And, you know, we have to look at religion from two points of view. We have the personalized religion concept, where, like I said, you have your own connection to God or a higher power, or even a belief in microevolution. I mean, it's, you have some kind of worldview and belief system that helps you answer the basic questions of life. Who am I? Where am I? How did I get here? What's my purpose here? What happened in history to produce the current situation in the world? What is morality? How should I be treating myself? How should I be treating others? You know, this is typically the world of religion. I personally prefer philosophy as an ideology because it's the pursuit of knowledge and it's the pursuit of wisdom. So philosophy to me is the middle ground between hard left brain materialist science, where you're just studying material things in the world and using the scientific method, and then also consciousness studies, questions about meaning and, you know, metaphysics and all the different branches of philosophy. I like it because it allows for other opinions to come in. It allows for an open-minded approach to pursuing these questions and to orientating yourself in this life. And it has some rules that are there to make sure that you don't go off on some crazy trail of ignorance because you succumb to your emotional impulses as opposed to uniting your intuition and your emotions with your logic and your reason. So to me, philosophy bridges the gap between science and then complete ignorance of science and ignorance of logic and reason, which is typically what you get in most religious circles, is The religion has a book or a law or a commandment, usually a book that was written. All these laws and commandments were written down. It requires a belief in divine intervention. I'm not saying divine intervention doesn't happen. It's just, this, it doesn't matter what religion you look at. There's always a requirement for divine intervention. And the fact that you are beholden to this God or this guru or this leader or this ideal. Okay, I'm not saying necessarily there's something wrong with that right on the face, but it can go wrong very, very quickly, and that's the issue. Okay, that's the issue. And it can also go very, very wrong when you go far too far the other way and you completely ignore the spiritual element to yourself and also this world and this universe. And you can become very nihilistic, very pessimistic, and you can start to believe, obviously, in things like determinism, where you have no free will. And then it just divides into these different camps. And so these basically all these ideas have been battling it out for centuries, and they're battling it out today just like they always have. It's just obviously in maybe a different context. So how do we get to the bottom of all this craziness, guys? How do we figure it out? How do we find the truth? Because religion and science and philosophy all claim that their objective is truth. If you were to be, if you were part of some Jim Jones cult, and I know we use him a lot because he's just such a great example, they will say, people like that will say, we're on a quest for the truth, and they will say all the right things. But it turns out that they weren't after the truth. They were lying. And you can see the ramifications of that, of being ignorant of the truth and walking off the path of trying to seek truth. You can go down all these different rabbit holes to the point where you're not even yourself anymore, and you start becoming capable of doing things that you otherwise would not be capable of doing. And so this is the concern. So I'm not trying to attack people, your individual religion, whatever religion you are a member of or consider yourself a member of. I'm not trying to critique your part in that. I'm simply trying to get you to think about it a little bit differently, hopefully, so that you can achieve what you originally were looking for when you signed up to a religion. The problem that happens is that you end up giving up your own mind and you surrender it, and they actually ask you to surrender it. All religion is about surrender. Did you notice that? You have to surrender yourself. There's this idea of salvation. There's this idea of submission to a higher authority and a higher power, because it's the abnegation of personal responsibility in so many fronts because of the fact that you don't believe you're capable. This is very prevalent in New Age Christianity, and obviously also, you know, or religions like Islam, right? The word Islam means submission. So they're submitting to a higher power. And then you have to rely on some prophet that is the vicar standing in, communicating the will of this divine power to the people that are the adherents of the religion. And what happens with that is that that opens up the door for this vicar or the priests of these religions or the whoever the representatives are to taint that message and give you a corrupted version of that message, because they're not channeling the Andromeda Council, they're not channeling Jesus, they're not channeling Allah, they're not channeling Krishna or whatever. They're channeling a deep part of their own psychology, like the way that Jim Jones or any of these other guys, David Koresh or whatever, the way, or Marilyn, or not Marilyn Manson, Charles Manson, they acted as though they were given some message that nobody else had. So there's this feeling of exclusiveness that people love. There's this feeling of we're a team now and we're going to achieve an objective. And it becomes a collective. And the problem with that is that when you immerse yourself into the collective and you give your mind over to some representative speaking on behalf of the divine power, then you give up your own divine power in the process. And that is the issue that I personally have with religion and cults and all of this stuff, okay? You see, just ask yourself this question. I mean, Even in the Bible, if you're coming from a Christian perspective, there are many instances where the Christ figure is actually telling you you're not to go and seek counsel from the priests. You are to look within for the kingdom of heaven. Okay, the first commandment of Christ to his disciples was seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. His disciples then, later on, they ask him, well, where is this kingdom of heaven? And he says, well, it's neither here nor there. The kingdom of heaven is within. Okay, so if the kingdom of heaven is within, how can some guru or some priest tell you what your inner divine connection is telling you? And tell, no, you're going to listen to my inner divine connection. I got a better Wi-Fi connection than you do with God, because I do all these rites and rituals and I wear all these funny costumes and I go to, and I you know, there's this feeling of superiority, right? Or I'm more experienced. I've read more of these texts and I know them better than you. So you can't have your own experience of inner, you can't have your own connection to God. I have the connection to God for you. You have like a dial-up connection. I have a fiber optic 4K connection, whatever it is, right? And that's the problem. And then you go, oh, well, you're superior to me, Lord and Master. So you're going to be the one that guides me on my spiritual quest. And what a feeling of relief that is, isn't it? To go, I don't even have to think about this anymore. I don't have to weigh my conscience down with trying to find out what's right and what's wrong and who I am and what God is and what nature is and what life is and how to balance that out with what science is discovering. And like, I don't want to have to deal with that. I just want to go to one place and get told what the truth is, because that person knows it, because they have a better connection to the divine source of all things than I do. And so it relieves you of personal responsibility on your journey towards discovering the divine will in your life. And I think that that's a recipe for slavery, not freedom. I personally believe if you actually listen to the true teachers, so there's a difference between a priest, a guru, like a leader like that, that's gotten corrupted and they're trying to tell you, don't listen to your own inner voice, listen to my inner voice. The difference between someone like that and a teacher is not trying to take a master-slave approach to this dynamic. They're trying to free you and say, I want to introduce you to the wisdom of your own mind. I want to introduce you to the divine will within you. I want to introduce you to your own inner genius. I want to introduce you to reason and evidence and understanding how to discover truth. Truth is discoverable. I can't tell you what the truth is, but I can give you a tried, tested, and true recipe for how to go about the process of finding out what the truth is. The best teachers I've ever had in any field have always been that force. And that was so universally different from all the priests and the pastors and the gurus and some of them, even the senseis that I had in my life. Authoritarians. Not trying to liberate you, trying to enslave you to their own will, claiming that that will is the divine will when it's not. And so I'm here to warn you against that and just get you to think about it, okay? You don't have to agree with me, but just think about it. What kind of cult are you involved in? Is religion serving you? What is your religion? Who's running it? What are the ideals? Is it promoting freedom for you to inquire outside of the grouping? Like, in my opinion, you know, you should be able to read from all of the religious traditions and then take from that what resonates at that time. And yeah, you might not have it all nailed, but that's the process of inquiry. They should be allowing freedom for you to explore and learn and have different points of view, because different points of view challenge you. It doesn't mean you're gonna get converted to every different point of view that you come across. It just means that you're gonna have now the ability to have some honest self-introspection and constructive criticism to go, you know what? I was reading from the Bible, and then I was reading from the Mahabharata, and then I was reading from this, and I found some different ways of looking at it, and this way works better for me. It just makes more sense. And then you keep that ideal for a period of time and you keep going on this pursuit of knowledge and awakening and enlightenment or whatever. And then you maybe down the road go, you know what? That ideal that I was holding on to, I actually doesn't stand up. It doesn't stand up to any scrutiny. It doesn't, it honestly didn't work for me, or it didn't bring me closer to God or a good, or it didn't make me a better person. I'm not more successful in my life. You know what I'm saying? And so then you change. So that brings in the scientific element of it. So you need the scientific approach when you're looking at religion and philosophy. That's why I like philosophy, because philosophy has some, if you look at philosophy, the rules of philosophy, so to speak, like the tenets of philosophy, even though there are differing philosophies, there's sort of a, there's a rule set that is there that is actually the bedrock of the scientific method. That basically, in order to have a philosophy that you can know is congruent with the facts of reality, you need to go through these steps of proving it out. And then if you can do that satisfactorily, then you have a legitimate philosophy. And then from there, that's not the end of it. That's the start. Now you have a good foundation where you're logical, and then you can keep weighing evidence and experience against it and see if it stands. That's not what cults want. That's not what religions want. And religions, when I say that, because I believe religion is a legitimate term when it comes to your own personal connection to a spiritual path. But religions, the institutions of religion, are incredibly corrupt. And they get corrupted by the fact that they get turned into little cults and little collectives. And as we looked at in the last episode, when we analyzed the psychology of the masses, like when you are brought into a collective in this way, into a crowd, as Le Bon was saying, you could be the most intelligent, high IQ, smart person on the planet. And yet, if you choose by your own free will to be brought into the will of the mass and to sort of sacrifice your personal responsibility, the sacrificing of personal responsibility actually dumbs you down to the base common denominator of the crowd, which is usually like that of a 7-year-old. It dumbs you down. And fear also dumbs you down. See, because fear is an instinctive response that is there to help you survive. So there's rational fears that you need to use as incentive to not get hit by a bus as it's coming towards you on the road. A little burst of fear is going to get you the hell out of the way. But if you are now obsessed about a bus hitting you, and now you can never cross a road ever again just because you are creating a fantasy in your mind that every time you cross the road, some bus is just going to be jumping out of the bushes and trying to hit you, then you now are in a space of irrational fear and anxiety, which is what we try to deal with, because that's not serving you, and it's an illusion. Well, religions live off of this shit. That's the whole basis of how they get you hooked in. Because they're not trying to get you to focus on this life. Deep, deep down in the bellies of these ideals is the idea that you must abnegate your personal responsibility because you're a lesser. You're a goyim. You're unwashed. You're evil. You're a sinner by nature. So therefore, you must sacrifice your own will to a higher authority, and that highest authority is God and the Word of God and everybody has these different things, and by doing that they actually contradict many times their own scriptures, which is why they're poisonous and they become a problem, because fear dumbs you down and they want you dumb, and that's why it sounds dumb. And that's why it's a cult. And people are dying to find a cult. This is the next level of things. This is why we got into the psychoanalysts and the great philosophers that were warning people about this. And they were, in many cases, they were trying to warn people in a political sense. Like, hey, if we get too collectivized and we stop thinking critically as individual units, then we won't be able to critique the state. And we will become slaves to the state, because we enslaved ourselves by giving up our personal responsibility to the state. We wanted the state to become God. So the state can become a religion. Science can become a religion. We call it scientism. Done many shows on this. That does not say we don't... I'm pro-science. I'm a pro-advocate for the scientific method. But the halls of science, the mainstream institutions, have taken their theories to the next level and have just crafted new language to create a new religion. And to actually abandon the tenets of science. Because they're completely inflexible from adapting to new information. And their minds are so closed because they've just decided, I'm going with these theories because there might be a good amount of evidence, but it's not open and shut. But I'm going with that, and I'm going to then base everything on that foundation, and anything that challenges that foundation, even if it does have the actual requirement of facts are met, and evidence are met, I'm going to ignore that, because if I accept that, that demolishes all these other theories that I've invested so much time in. So it becomes another vicious cycle. It just sounds cool because it's new language, but it's the same ideology at the base of it, and it's the same psychology involved in it. It's the same shit, it's just a different pile, okay? So we start, when you really start opening your eyes, you start to see religious cults everywhere. You see in all these fields, and you see people lining up around the block to become enlisted into a new cult. And the reason we do this is because we are terribly afraid inside. We are traumatized inside. And these cult leaders and institutional religions know this. We have centuries of insiders coming out talking about that. From their own writings, they know this. From all the evidence we have, we know that they know this. And there are many unwitting. I'd say the vast majority of people involved in these kind of things are unwitting. They are themselves. They've shut down their logic, reason, and intelligence, and they have gotten dumbed down to the level of the base, the common denominator of that crowd or that group or that collective. And so they actually lock the door of their mind from the potential of knowledge that would be there, because if they were to do that, they would suddenly be so critical of what they're involved in, they would have to walk away. And they don't want that, because being a part of that collective massages them and makes them feel better, and it eases their fear and their worry and their angst. So they don't mind dumbing themselves down, because you know what's the old thing? You know, some of the smartest people in the world became incredibly depressed because they started to see these things. It wasn't because being smart, depression comes with being smart. It's because you're smart enough to see the truth around you. It's hard to bear the burden of using your own mind in a positive way, in a critical way, to analyze yourself and the world. And when you do that, it's kind of hard to see. So I can understand why people flock to these cults and give up their own independence, and they give up their own freedom in the process, because they're willing to trade freedom for the illusion of security. And this is what we're facing right now in this big social political debate that's happening on in the world, and especially in the West, is that people are looking to the news media as the priests. They're the vicars, right? They're the stand-ins. You don't have to go and research all of these facts and information. Fox News and CNN and all the, we're going to tell you the truth. We're going to report the facts to you. Now, that doesn't mean you can't use media as a tool to, you know, we don't have the time to go through every fact. I get it. But you always have to take it with a grain of salt, and you always have to follow up with research of your own, and you need to look at multiple sides. I was just having this discussion with a dear friend, and we were talking about this, and this person was saying, okay, well, because I was challenging the, I was, as an exercise, I was challenging his idea of politics. And I was just saying, hey, just as an exercise, because I come from philosophy, so I'm not here to take a side other than let's find the truth, okay? So let's just do an exercise here. So you said something like, okay, I don't know, just pick your thing, whatever issue it is. And I want to know, where did you come to the conclusion that that's what it was? well, I watch the news. Okay, you watch the news. And he's like, well, then I traveled to Texas and they watch totally different news. So they're wrong. Because they, he's like, they watch, and I said, well, what do you mean they watch different news? They have a different television, they have different television channels up in Texas or something? Like, what's the, he's like, oh, they watch Fox News. And I was like, oh, okay. And I said, well, so Fox News is biased. He's like, oh, hell yeah. I said, well, what news do you watch? He goes, well, I watch CNN. I'm like, okay, so CNN's not biased? He's like, well, no. And then, you know, kind of, and he's like, well, I guess so. And I'm like, well, but let's just say they're both biased. They're both biased. One is more left-wing, one is more right-wing, okay? So you're saying that all the people in this demographic or this area is wrong simply because they watch different news than you watch. Do you see what's happening here? I mean, you're just, all you're doing is getting back into this cult dynamic that says, well, my team is right and we're not biased. And, you know, the people, my vicars, my stand-ins for my own mind, they're not lying to me. But those people, because they have a totally different vicar, different stand-in, they're wrong. And I'm like, you do realize that all, pretty much all the wars ever fought were based on this prince, this way of thinking, right? Like, just think back to all the religious wars. They were fought to either, one side was either fighting to preserve itself and its right to express its own religion at the expense of a dominant religion trying to come in and forcibly convert everybody, or it was literally just a battle of ideas happening in the physical world, because it was mostly, and really it wasn't about those religious ideals, just so you know, guys, that's not why the wars were fought. The wars were fought because there were mafia battles going on between different elite kingdoms and rulers that were trying to gain power and expand their influence, and not because they wanted to convert the world, but because they wanted to dominate a particular area and take it over for the land, resources, people, put them all to work so that it could feed itself into a bigger, more powerful entity. It was about power. It wasn't about trying to go and enlighten the world. Never has been. And even those that maybe started like that, I mean, clearly the descendants of that original grouping were not as zealot towards, much of a zealot towards the ideals. They just wanted to continue the expansion of power. So it's an illusion, okay? And we've covered before how many very, very top level elite secret groupings and breakaway civilizations and secret societies, etc., that feed the government and feed the media and feed the, you know, they're pumping out high-level intellectuals and funding big organizations and institutions like you wouldn't believe. And they have their own religions that you don't even know about. And yet they'll come to the side of one of the people's religions and make it seem like they're there to promote the ideals of the religion, or we're there to, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, it's just command and conquer, right? So we've seen that on the big stage of history, and we can see it in our own little communities. And so this is why, to me, the best message that was ever put out to the human race by a few people throughout history, most of who were imprisoned or killed or demonized, they were trying to promote the values of freedom. So, I mean, maybe each one of them had their own leaning towards a particular political party or a particular religious ideal or philosophy or whatever branch of science. But they still were the advocates of free expression of religion, free expression of going on your own journey towards discovering the truth. And so they advocated for open-mindedness. They advocated for research and reason and evidence and, you know, all of that. And I find it interesting that the people that were advocating for that are the most attacked by the mobs of people and by the intellectual classes, which is so interesting to me, how very intelligent people could become so dumb. And then when you twig how collectivism works and how the crowd psychology works and how fear works, it starts to make perfect sense. in many cases, it's not just a conspiracy of evil. It's a conspiracy of ignorance in many cases. Okay. So what I would say is look at the definitions of a cult and a cult leader and study them intensely. And then look into what you're involved with, the people you're involved with, the organizations you're involved with, and just start comparing notes and saying, all right, am I sacrificing my individual freedom? Am I sacrificing my mind? Am I sacrificing my own genius to cling to an ideal that is on shaky ground, led by a person that is not infallible, but is human and is not perfect and could be leading me down the wrong path? So just ask yourself, how important is it to you to be capable of thinking for yourself? Because I think we go so far down this road that we actually start to atrophy those parts of our mind that are capable of free thought. We actually get to a point where that just starts to calcify and the neurons can't connect anymore, or the signals can't connect anymore. So you're just incapable of open-minded thinking. And you're incapable of changing your opinion when new evidence is presented. And you're incapable of introspection. You're incapable of facing fear. You become incapable of facing and winning against your fear, so you actually live with it, and then you're condemned to a life of trying to drown it with artificial means. And so you are actually holding the key to your own prison. Even though you could blame it on the cult leader or the cult that you're part of that brainwashed you, or you could blame it on the media, or you could blame it on the government. You can blame a lot of people, but except yourself. And my thing is, hey, there's evil people, corrupt people, ignorant people doing a lot of ignorant, corrupt, evil shit. So the question is not, how do we stop them? How do we vanquish all of them from the face of the planet? They're destroying the planet. It's how do you build immunity in your psyche to be able to defend yourself against that? Because you're going to get rid of one group, one cult, one toxic disease, and then it's going to be replaced by another. The thing's going to mutate like a virus. And it's going to come even stronger. You'll never vanquish ignorance. You'll never vanquish evil. It's built into the system. It's like this game we're playing on Earth is designed to have the right conditions to challenge you. Like, you're always going to come up against challenges, no matter what. You can think you're in the perfect space, but you'll never be perfect. You'll always have to deal with something. So you need a good roadmap, yes. You need ideals to follow, yes. You need heroes to look up to, yes. You need teachers to teach you and guide you, yes. But do you need to sacrifice the freedom of your own mind to some group ideal that is very, very questionable when it comes to whether it's rational or not? No. That's the line. If you want to maintain your own autonomy, if you want to maintain your natural state as best you can. So if you do believe in a God, why would God make you in such a flawed way? You know, why? God is perfect, but he creates imperfect beings. What's up with that? And you can say, oh, because it's free, because humans have free will. Fine. And we can go astray, fine. Then there you have it. More reason, by your own definitions, by your own doctrine, to not join that cult and to think for yourself and to say, all right, this isn't working for me. This getting on my knees and flogging myself for every little infraction and living in a fear-based, guilt-ridden life. It's not working for me. I want to free myself and connect to the real spirit, the real force of nature, the real God, the real truth. But I can't do that when I'm constantly having all of those ideals communicated to me from people who have ulterior motives, from people who are flawed, from people who are ignorant, from people who are themselves afraid. They're going to contaminate you with their own inner demons. Which means the purest approach to connecting to divinity and goodness and truth in your life is to go at it on your own. Go at it on your own path. Now, that doesn't mean you don't get involved with other people that are like-minded and work together and have teachers instead. I said, there's a line that's there. You don't have to go live in a mountain hut by yourself. It just means be careful with giving up the sovereignty of your mind to someone else and to something, some cult, some group, some brand. Because that's what they require. They hate the freedom that human beings have, these people. Because freedom is scary. I mean, look at it even with the political debates we're having right now. In America, in Canada, in Western countries, and in all countries, I mean, many other countries, they've already had this happen to them. They are shining examples of what could happen to us if we don't keep the checks and balances that we have in place. But regardless, the principles of freedom, the freedom that you have to make a choice as to what religion or ideal that you're going to aspire to and to exercise in your life and to build into your life, that you have freedom of choice, that is under attack. That you have freedom of speech, meaning you have freedom of thought, that is under attack. That you have the right to defend yourself when attacked by people who are aggressively trying to wrestle your freedom away from you, that is under attack. And that the whole idea is, if we just build an all-powerful megastate, we'll have more security. And you go, okay, but let's just give you the benefit of the doubt that we actually would have more security, because I think that's laughable. But I'll give you that one just for this. Okay, even that, is it worth giving up your freedom as an autonomous human being? Right? Is that worth it? This was, and when you really study and nail down the ideas of freedom that are very unique to the West, you'll realize that the people that constructed these ideas and built a civilization based on the foundation of these ideas, that yes, many of them came from the Christian group, but they weren't radicalized. They weren't fundamentalists. They didn't build in a law saying, we're going to force everybody that wants to be a member of this country to be a Christian. They actually built in religious freedom. That was a new thing. They said, we want a separation between church and state. We want a separation between state and economics. And what do we have today? The state has become a religion and is actually even adopting other religions that are enemies of Western culture into its houses, and giving them voting rights and taking your voting rights away. People who grew up believing in all these ideals. Because why? It's a new cult. It's a new religion. New kid in town. And they're going to require that you give up your freedom, and they're going to pitch it to you based on fear. It's always fear that's being used, because that's what motivates human beings. Is fear. So they'll tell you all kinds of stuff to freak you out so that you get on your knees and submit. This is cult history 101. They'll condemn you for trying to leave the cult. They won't allow you to. They don't want religious freedom, because freedom means scary. So in order to feel secure, we better make sure everybody is reciting chapter and verse, the script that we give them, that we feel is going to bring the most safety to everybody. And the most, and now it's all about equality. We're going to bring the most equality to everybody. So this is a good indication as to where you should be looking the deepest, where you should be spending your time researching and getting all the facts and marshaling the facts together, is when the idea or the law or the change and the shift is being propelled by a propaganda machine of fear. See, the danger is real. in the world. But fear is a choice. And in the West, we decided not to live under the rule of fear anymore. We decided to live under the principles of freedom and actually give human beings a chance and say, you know what? No matter what system of protection we build, there will always be dangers that we cannot possibly mitigate. Whether you're living in the woods, in the jungle, like tribes people, or whether you're in a society that's modern and civilized, there's danger that you have to deal with as an individual in the world. Earth is a school of hard knocks. You cannot nerf it, you cannot pat it, you cannot run from it, you cannot hide from it. In fact, the more you do that, the more challenged nature and the universe and God or whatever throws at you. So the idea is, give man his birthright, give man his freedom. And that's under attack. And little cults have grown up in the universities, in the religious institutions, in the halls of politics, in the halls of finance and business, and just in society in general, that are working actively to destroy your freedom under the guise of security. It's the guise of security. It's not even going to be secure. Because it can't be. It's impossible. It might be more secure for a time. It might be more abundant for a time. It might seem like we've reached a level of egalitarianism and fairness for a time, but then it just never lasts. Why? Because most people are, humans are wrong most of the time. The truth is always right. Humans are not always aligned with the truth, and therefore, in many times, in pretty much all of the time actually, the majority is always wrong. The masses are always wrong. Have always been, always will be, because of all the facts have been breaking down in these recent episodes and all the stuff we've been doing on the Unslaved podcast, trying to show you this. And the reason we're doing this is to try to help liberate you and connect you back to your own nature in a good way, the good side of human nature. So, I'm just here to advocate for an open-minded approach to learning more about this and being careful about what cults you're joining and what cults you're signing on to and where you're giving up your own sovereignty in the process and where you're giving up opportunity for your own flourishing, your own thriving, your own development. And by trying to censor everything and everyone and trying to force things into being in order to save the world or save this or that or whatever it is going to be, that this produces more tyranny, less freedom, more poverty, mentally, spiritually, physically, and even in society. And it never works out very well. So that is a basic breakdown of this argument, guys. And I would say that when you study religions, you can find a lot of beautiful writings, because like I said, they're just rehashed cookie cutter versions of older, I feel like, superior, more intact philosophies and ideals that became bastardized by people for purposes of political and social control. And But you can still, when you know what I'm talking about, you can look at the beautiful parts in these religions and you can say that is something that I agree with and I aspire to build into my life and I recognize the value of that ideal. And you can start looking, comparing and contrasting and go, oh, I see that ideal over here in this writing by Buddha. And then I see this ideal in Taoism or in Christianity in the Bible or in Hinduism or in whatever, you know. And you can have that ability to syncretize things and align things and harmonize things. And then you can also appreciate science and the whole process of scientific inquiry and investigation, and you can start to hear out arguments in a different way. You can take a more objective stance. And you can stop being this fundamentalist, crazy shouting and fighting, and you're like addicted to your idea, to the point where you can't hear other sides anymore. and you start demonizing the enemy and saying, well, they don't believe what I believe, so they're the liars, they're the evil ones, they're the ones that need to be silenced, those are the people that need to be censored, those are the people that we have to put in jail, you know. You start getting into the tribal mob burning torches idea, like that whole psychology, and that's when you drift into the world of lies. So go and research these religions, go and research cults at the same time, and a great truth will be revealed to you. And I recommend that your religion be your religion, your way, and that the leaders and the teachers and the heroes that you allow into your life, you are in charge of that process. You're not giving away your freedom because you feel like you're inadequate to do the job. And you're like, well, this person's more adequate than me, so I'm just gonna shut my mind off and just do whatever they tell me to do. Even if it means I gotta drink some Kool-Aid and give Kool-Aid to my kids. It's amazing how quickly we can drift astray. And when you know that there is an objective truth, but that to align with it, to learn what it is in any area, is a task. And that the task and the struggle is the beautiful part of the process. If we try to censor that and erase it and go, you know what, too hard, too much work, Dave, what you're asking me to do, so I just want to give my brain away to somebody else. Well, there goes the age-old adage, if you don't control your mind, someone else will. So you decide for yourself, make the choice right now. Are you going to control your mind? Take the responsibility that comes with that and live free? Or are you going to murder yourself and give up all the beauty that was given to you by whatever creator or force of nature that you believe in that gave you those attributes? And are you going to be able to pick up your own cross, take your own personal responsibility, and enjoy that struggle? Not fear it, not walk in fear. Are you going to make a choice to not live in fear and not let other people use fear to program you? Are you going to live free? Are you going to live with courage? Courage doesn't mean the absence of fear. It just means a recognition of it. And there's a process underway for you to battle that so that you can accomplish this mission that you're on. You have to battle fear. That's why I called it Truth Warrior. You have to seek the truth, and you need to be strong if you're going to seek the truth. And we have a culture that has become so incredibly weakened that it's no wonder to me why we've drifted so far from truth and goodness and morality and reason and rationality. And we're succumbing to our fears because we're succumbing to our emotions, because we're succumbing to the process of being dumbed down and not being capable of thinking for ourselves anymore. So free your minds. Let me know what you think in the comments, guys. Cheers.